Sometimes I don't sleep too well. So I get up and play solitaire or whatever on the computer. But last night I decided to try something different. So if I'm a little bit foggy today, you'll know why. I saw this ad for a ZZ Quill. So ZZ Quill is supposed to help you sleep? Nah, just the opposite. I was awake 3 hours last night. So, well, there are two ways for Christians to grow. One is through people, and the other one is through pain. It would be hard to find a more important principle than this, and sometimes we grow through the influence of others. We sit at the feet of our parents, teachers, friends, mentors, disciples, and pastors. Gifted leaders who have shown us the way through life, and many people in my life have touched me and changed me and molded me as the way I am. Sometimes growth comes in formal settings like schooling and classrooms. Some come in more informal settings. I was talking to Al Ledger this morning. He told me at age 5 his father taught him how to drive a tractor. Right? And also he had to climb underneath the truck to make sure there's no dry grass or hay on the manifold to start a fire. So at 5 years old, his dad got the little guy to go underneath and get the hay out. Well, Proverbs, one of my favorite books in the Bible, says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we lean against each other and sharpen each other. We learn a lot from books, but we learn a lot more from life, don't we? The presence of the on-the-job training. The best kind of teaching is up close and personal, life on life. Life molding another person. We learn a little bit from the distance, but as we draw closer to a person who is teaching us, we learn most of all when we're face to face. And that's what happened with Jesus and his disciples. Mark 3:14 says that Jesus called the 12 apostles that they might be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. It's so important, that word be, that two-letter word, be. That is to be with him, to be in the presence, to be molded by, to be uplifted by. Jesus sent them out after he was with them, after they were with him. So one way we grow is through people, and the other way we grow sometimes is through pain, isn't it? Unfortunately. And so, you know, the old saying about athletics is no gain, no pain. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. You have to build your muscles up. Sometimes the pain comes because of sadness of life. Cancer might cripple somebody. A snowstorm such as Sandy can devastate a whole region. Or we might have the pain of a loved one who's going through a tough time and suffering. Job 5:7 says, a man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Well, sparks always fly upward. So I guess a man is always born to trouble. No one is exempt. Often, people in pain go together to make a person what they are. The wind, for example, is a good thing. Sometimes, if without the wind, we wouldn't have the environment that we have. But when the wind blows a tree down and it falls on our new car, that's not a good thing either, is it? And sometimes the wind pushes the waves up onto the shore like it did in New York. A volcano might suddenly erupt, or an earthquake and destroy an entire city. This happened many times over the history of our world. Our child might contract a debilitating disease. Our little grandson, Quinn, who's 4 years old now, is still recovering from brain cancer. He had it when he was 1 year old. He's behind in his development, and he might always be. That's the way it will be. But what a loving spirit he has. He has such joy in his life. He dances around as best he can, and in his way, he's having a fantastic time. And he really has a joyful heart. Same thing with my cousin Ken, who is in his 60s now. He's Down syndrome. And he has such a love for the Lord. It's amazing. I think I might have said this before. When his father died at age 92, his mother said to him, don't cry, Kenny, because Kenny said, no, I know. Dad's with the Lord. He's having a great time. What a great heart he has. The list of things that can happen to us is almost betrayal, almost endless. The things that can happen to us that are negative. Betrayal, lies, accusations, slander, and gossip. Violence, fraud, deceit, unfair treatment, unfair punishment, humiliation, ridicule, sarcasm, rumors, the silent treatment, mockery, being made the butt of cruel jokes. So many of us have experienced that kind of thing. The pain is made worse when it comes from somebody close to us, isn't it? It's really hits your heart. So let me say that again. There are only two ways to grow. One is through people and the other one is through pain. The worst pain comes from other people who attack us. And poet Robert Browning put it this way in a beautiful poem. Let me read this poem. It's really short. Robert Browning. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. To be a Christian, a true Christian, is to suffer. That's not the full truth of the Christian life, but it's part of it. Us, and we as American Christians sometimes resist. Sometimes the gospel is presented as if we are with Jesus, that's the ticket to the good life. The prosperity gospel, which is just the opposite of what the gospel of Christ is all about. And it's true that the Lord said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, and 1 Thessalonians instructs us to rejoice always. But the abundance of life is the heart of God in us, filling us with His love. That is the abundance that we have. 1 Peter that we read this morning spelled out what it means to follow Christ. First of all, it means to suffer innocently. It says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sins and no deceit was found in His mouth. The phrase at the end of verse 21, in His steps. Now, there was a man by the name of Russell Ashe who listed the top 10 best-selling books of all time. The first was the Bible. It's about 6 billion copies. The second one was the quotations from the works of Mao Zedong, about 900 million. And number 9 was a book called In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? More than 30 million copies. And this goes along very well with the song that Daryl and Barbara so brought to us so well this morning. In Topeka, Kansas, and there are some people from Kansas here. How many people here have lived in Kansas? Oh, look at this. Yay, Chiefs! I used to be a Chiefs fan. And I was amazed when I moved to Kansas City in 1970. I couldn't believe the number of women that were football fans, because back in New York, there were very few women that were football fans. But it's going to be interesting to see who's going to root for the Chiefs today. But there was a Topeka, Kansas newspaper man named Charles Sheldon. He wrote a book, In His Steps, and that was the 30 million that were sold. And the big slogan that he came out with was, What Would Jesus Do? And you remember the bracelets that people used to wear, What Would Jesus Do? And in His Steps became a huge bestseller. And this should be the slogan of every Christian. Whenever you're thinking of what to do, what would Jesus do? It's the greatest honor to be a Christian, to be like Jesus. He did no wrong, but yet He was crucified, betrayed, denied, beaten. He was hated by the power brokers because He did not fit in the society of that time. People close to us will disappoint us, and some will turn against us. Following Christ also means to suffer patiently. That's hard to do, isn't it, for some people? Suffer patiently. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. My wife stands with a fist. No. But secondly, following Christ means suffering patiently. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges justly. This is Peter that we read this morning. It's not a natural way to live. You know, we want to fight back. We want to make sure we have our word, our way with what's going on. When we're insulted, we tend to want to return an insult with an insult. As the old spiritual says, he never said a mumbling word, and that's the way Jesus was. He never said a mumbling, complaining word. As sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53. When he stood before Pilate and Herod, he faced the jeering crowds. He made no threats. When they scourged him, he didn't retaliate. He could have. When they drove nails in his hands and feet, he didn't fight them off. When the bystanders spat on him, he didn't spit back. When they swore at him, he didn't swear back. Peter's point is that in some ways, living a life as a Christian, this will happen to you in some ways. Now, it's really easy to being a Christian at HEB in the Humboldt Room at 10 o'clock in the morning, because we are all here, we all love each other, we all are very, we know exactly where everyone stands. You find out what really happens when something happens on Monday morning. Sometimes you'll be a better Christian by not saying anything at all, by just taking it in and listening. According to Peter, the footprints of Jesus led directly to the cross, and we are commanded to follow those footsteps to the cross for him. The final verse of verse 23 says, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He entrusted himself to his Father, God, who judges justly. We hear a lot of talk about claiming our rights. How dare you trample on my rights? How dare you take that away from me? That's mine. But the Bible turns the things upside down. You aren't to think of your rights first. You're to think of others first. That's what we should do. Don't think of me. Don't internalize what's going on in your life, but say, how is this going to affect others? When you're mistreated, remember these four statements. It's not about me. It's not about now. It's all about God. And it's all about eternity. Remember last week I talked about the big picture. The big picture is that our life here is just the stepping stone to our life eternal. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus was a helpless victim? He didn't have to be. Not at all. He could have knocked everything down, taken over everything. He could have brought a legion of angels to destroy everyone who was against him. But he didn't. But he never said that word. And thirdly, following Christ means suffering sacrificially. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the gospel truth in these verses. His suffering was personal. He himself suffered for us. His suffering was a substitute. He took our sins that we couldn't live a good life. And the Jews tried for centuries to live up to the Ten Commandments and the law, and they could not do it. His suffering was severe. He was crucified on the cross. His suffering was redemptive. It took over our sins. His suffering was reconciliation. We're all like sheep going astray. Ever see sheep, any little thing that shies them, they'll run every which way. In fact, they might even run over a cliff. But Jesus is the great good shepherd that brings us in. When you resist the urge to get even, when you stop claiming your rights, when you stop trying to always be understood, when you give up your anger and bitterness, you become like Jesus. How much better is that than to become like Jesus? The Christians in China and Sudan and Iran and many other countries understand that truth better than we do, because Jesus is their Savior every day as they face trials. He is our example when we suffer unjustly. What did Jesus do? Well, let's expand it a little bit further. What would Jesus do? And what did Jesus do in certain circumstances? In the Christian life, there are only two ways to grow: through people and through pain. Verse 21 says that Jesus left us an example. In the Greek, the word example means to trace with big letters. Now, our little Dina here is learning how to fill in the blanks and color, but pretty soon she'll be learning the alphabet. And what they usually do is take the big letters, make a big A, and they follow it and they trace it by example. The ABCs of life are what Jesus gave us, the big examples to follow in our life. We see what he did when he suffered, and we trace that out in our lives. We suffer with him. We see how he kept silent, and we trace those letters in our life because we want to be more like him. We see how he didn't strike back, and we see the letters in our life. The world doesn't understand truth. Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the masses to keep people down. But how wrong they are, and that's still the position of communist China. We are not deluded. We know the world isn't all there is. Because we believe in heaven so strongly, we know that this is strictly a resting place. Sometimes a tough place to rest. Apart from God, it's totally impossible to live this way. When we are mistreated, we are to turn the other cheek, to bless those that curse us, and to return good for evil. That gets people's attention, returning good for evil. People expect evil for evil. But when you return good for evil, that makes a huge difference. Jesus left the ABCs for us to follow. When you live like this, you're surely doing what Jesus would do. When you live like this, you baffle the world around you. People don't know how to handle it. People expect certain things, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But this is a new covenant, the new law, the new love. Let me say it one more final time. When you're hurt and you feel like getting even, don't do it. Don't do it at all, because the big thing that you'll make, the big impression you'll make, is not getting back. Let your life trace the letters that Jesus left behind. What did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's a life prescription. What did Jesus do, and what would Jesus do? And that's God's word for us today. Amen.